So in Matthew 4:18-20, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. And then Matthew 22:35-39. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is, like it, love your neighbor as yourself."
One of the key phrases I keep in mind when I think about what it means to follow Jesus is related to love, and it is KISS. With KISS being an acronym meaning keep it simple, stupid. This is mainly because I am a bear of very little brain, but also because as humans we have a tendency to make things far more complicated than they need to be. In the first instance, we have enough trouble doing the basics of the Christian faith without getting hung up on trying to perfect the advanced level of Christianity. When seeking to follow Jesus, we need to keep it simple. And I'd like to qualify that I'm calling myself stupid and not any of you honest. My favourite Christian book is called Messy Spirituality, and it's by Mike Iaconelli, and in it he writes this. One of my favourite Peanuts cartoons starts with Lucy at her 5-cent psychology booth, where Charlie Brown has stopped for advice about life. "Life, Charlie Brown, is like a deck chair," she says. "Like a what?" Charlie replies. Lucy asks, "Have you ever been on a cruise ship?" Passengers open up these canvas deck chairs so they can sit in the sun. Some people place their chairs facing the rear of the ship so they can see where they've been. Other people face their chairs towards the chairs forward so they can see where they're going. The good doctor looks at her puzzled client and asks, "On the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing?" Without hesitating, Charlie replies glumly, "I've never been able to get one unfolded." Mike Iaconelli continues, "Charlie and I are soulmates. Everywhere I look on the cruise ship of Christianity, I see crews of instructors, teachers, experts and gurus eager to explain God's plans for the placement of my deck chair, but I can't unfold it. No wonder when I peruse titles in the Christian bookstore, I feel like I'm the only Dumbo in the kingdom of God. A spiritual nincompoop lost on a ship of brilliant biblical thinkers, an ungodly midget in a world of spiritual giants. When I compare my life with the experts, I feel sloppy, unkempt, and messy in the midst of an immaculately dressed saints, and I'm a minister." The reality is that although many Christians try and may succeed in looking perfect, they're far from it. All of us, I think, will feel like Charlie Brown at times. Or perhaps we should feel like Charlie Brown at times. If we think we feel we've made it as Christians, we've probably been relying more on our own initiative than trusting in Jesus. We are all, if we are honest, people who have a long way to go in our discipleship. But there is hope, and that hope comes not from making things more complicated, not from learning more, doing more, knowing more, being better, trying to make ourselves more holy, going to more meetings. No, hope comes from simply doing the simple things that Jesus called his disciples to do. Now the phrase "keep it simple, stupid" could have been devised for Jesus' first disciples, because frankly they were an in one ear and out the other ear kind of bunch. As soon as Jesus taught them something, they were doing the opposite. As soon as they saw something miraculous, they were lacking in faith. Keeping it simple was the name of the game for them, and it is the same for us. And it all started with the call of Jesus upon their lives of discipleship. Come, follow me. Three simple words, come, follow me. Three simple words, but with huge implications. There are variations on the story that we heard from Matthew's Gospel, in all of the Gospels, where Jesus calls some of his initial disciples away from their old life and to a new life. The story we heard has Andrew and Peter being called from their fishing nets. And with three words, come follow me, young men left behind fishing for fish to fish for people. With three words, the whole orientation of their lives changed. With three words, young men who had been told they were not worthy of being disciples were told they were worthy. What kind of followership was Jesus calling these folks to? A walk in the park? Anything but. Jesus will go on to make it clear that following him is demanding. In essence, he says, you want to follow me, do you? Well, in that case, you have to learn to hate your family, give up your possessions, and get ready for a nasty death. Hardly the way a PR advisor would suggest you went about trying to win friends and influence people. Following Jesus is nothing as trivial as following someone's post on Facebook or picture on Instagram. It's not even easy as following the deceptive promises of a politician come election season. No. Imagine Jesus as the leader of a great expedition, forging his way through high and dangerous mountain passes, bringing urgent medical aid to villagers cut off from the rest of the world. Jesus says, if you want to come any further, you've got to leave your pack behind. From here on, the path is too steep to carry any of that stuff, and you probably won't find it again anyway. You better send your last postcards home. This is a dangerous route, and it's likely that several of us won't make it back. That's the kind of discipleship that Jesus was calling those fishermen to with those three simple words, come, follow me. And if we think about Jesus' call to follow him in this way, we will start to see things differently. We might not like the sound of it, but we can see what kind of sense it makes. We can see why it's important. We can see why it's a commitment, a challenge, a life to embrace. These are three simple words, but there are also three hard words about what it means to follow Jesus and the reality of the journey of discipleship. It is difficult, but it is vitally important. It is a journey where we need to clothe ourselves well and plan accordingly. A journey where we will be tested, but it is also a journey where we will discover new and wonderful things. A journey that, as C.S. Lewis wrote, is further on and further up. Come, follow me. Three simple words, but three words with huge implications for those fishermen and for us today, if we choose to respond to them. Come, follow me. And once we have chosen to start on that journey, what comes next? Well, that's where the second part of our reading comes in. The life of a follower of Jesus is simply to be shaped by love. When Jesus was asked a question by an expert in the law as to which was the most important commandment, Jesus gives them a succinct and simply worded answer. Jesus tells them an answer that would have been well known. Jesus gives them an answer that was uncontroversial, as it was all-encompassing in its scope. When Israel had got near the end of its time of wandering in the desert following their escape from Egypt, Despite spending 40 years being led by God, despite them receiving the law, they still had not got it. They still had not learned to rely on God. They were still as fickle-hearted as ever. And so to these fickle-hearted desert pilgrims, God says through Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get them up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." And these words would later become something very important to the people of Israel. Something that by the time of Jesus, the Pharisees and other pious Jews would be saying twice a day. And they called it the Shema. And the first part of Jesus' reply to the question, "What is the most important commandment?" were the words that would have been so familiar to those who were listening. Out of the 613 commandments of the Old Testament, Jesus says this is the most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Jesus says this is the most important. Not something that's based upon you doing something, not on some action, some religious observance, but something that is based upon love. The people of Israel had fickle hearts. At every opportunity, their gaze seemed to wander from God. And they gave their worship to something else. But what the Shema was to do was to center their life on God and their following of Him. Love of God being at the heart of everyday life. However, Jesus expands on this and takes the love that humans had made selfish and gave love a God dimension. He follows up the familiar words of the Shema with words from the law from Leviticus chapter 19 and says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." The love that is to be seen in the lives of the followers of Jesus is to be love like the love of God Himself. Love that is outwardly focused. Love that is to be shared. Love that radiates. Love for another. Love as Paul describes in Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another before yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but by overcome evil with good. This is love that is lived. A love that is seen in every aspect of life. Love that runs through our existence like the words run through a stick of rock. A love that is the reflection of the love of God. Love that is first for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And this is worship. But love in worship that is not to have a narrow focus, but the love of God that extends like this to become love for others, and that is mission.
Being a disciple of Jesus was never supposed to be a complicated business. Challenging? Yes. Complicated? No. One of the great theologians of the 20th century was Karl Barth, and he embarked on writing a monumental multi-volume work on Christian theology. Millions of words, he wrote, and he died before he got to finish it. And in a story that is possibly true, he was asked by a student to summarize his theology in a single sentence. And he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so." Keep it simple, stupid. We are to follow Jesus. We are to love God. We are to love others. Discipleship, worship, mission. The three-legged stool of the Christian life. A simple way of moving from looking like a Christian to following Jesus. And we all need a simple but foundational way of approaching our lives as Christians. And this can be a helpful way. So through some of this year, we're going to explore the theme of following Jesus by loving God and loving others. Looking at our lives of worship, mission and discipleship in different ways and see how they can help us live as authentic followers of Christ today. We're going to begin by looking at worship during the period between now and Easter. Then move on to mission between Easter and the summer, and then reflect upon discipleship in the autumn. Being a Christian is all about keeping it simple at its heart. We may think we've been a Christian for long enough to be prepared for the advanced stuff by now. But being a Christian is all about following Jesus, loving God, and loving others. And we forget those at our peril. Shown in different ways, by different means, to different degrees. And all we do as Christians is about variations on those. So let us, as we travel through this year together, keep it simple. Follow Jesus, love God, and love others. Let's pray. Father God, may we learn to follow your son in his way of discipleship, so we better learn to love you and love all whom you love. Amen.